It's good to see everybody this evening. Hope you've all had a good day today. Have several visitors with us, and we certainly want to welcome them. Glad to have each one of y'all here with us this evening, especially this week. I think we've got a good number of our group that are just sick with different ailments, and we certainly want to continue to keep them in our prayers, but we sure appreciate everybody's presence this evening. There's a story told, true story, I believe, about a large southern city a number of years ago that had a problem with the garbage dump. If you've ever watched the development of cities, you know that a lot of times they just start going in one direction and they keep on going. And some things that are there in the direction they're going, they wish weren't there. At the time that this garbage dump was put in, I'm sure it was miles outside of the city, but as the city grew, it grew closer and closer, and they had a problem. What are they going to do with this dump? And so what they decided to do with the dump was to make it into something that would actually benefit the city. So first thing they did was they took as much of the trash. Well, they stopped dumping the trash, I guess, was first thing they started doing. But the second thing they started doing was they started hauling trash away from it. And then they started bringing in clean fill dirt, and they made a good foundation for it. And then after everything was cleaned up and there was the right foundation for building, they built a beautiful shopping center on it. And so they really did turn something that was a huge liability into something that was beautiful. It's true that the shopping center was still built on a dump, but it had been cleaned so that you wouldn't notice it. And again, it was something that was beneficial to everyone. Well, what's the point? Why even talk about that? And of course, hopefully it's pretty obvious. That's really what God calls us to do with our lives. When we think about being lost in sin, we're lost in sin for the same reason that there was a garbage dump. They had been dumping garbage out there day after day, year after year, in this case for over 100 years. Well, that's the way we are sometimes. We are continually sinning in our life, maybe not necessarily intentionally, maybe because we don't know any better, but once we come in contact with the truth, then it becomes imperative for us to make a decision. And that decision, if we're going to be pleasing to God, is going to have to be to stop dumping garbage. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1 is the first passage we want to look at. The Apostle Paul, through inspiration, says this: "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you." Well, when you think about it, the gospel is God's plan of salvation. The good news of Jesus Christ certainly is that plan that God has for us to be rescued from our sin. We're all lost in our sin. We all have a problem. The wages of sin is death, we're told in Romans. We're also told that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So we have that problem. But the gospel was preached. What is the gospel? Of course, it's the life of Jesus, specifically, or at least maybe I should say, heavily weighted on the death and the burial and the resurrection. And then the obedience to that gospel that we read about in the New Testament. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word. Just like this large city had a plan to get rid of this garbage dump and do something beneficial with it, on a much higher scale, God has a plan for us to be able to get rid of the sin that's in our life and to build something beautiful. But we have to follow the plan. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Well, Acts chapter 2 and verse 37 talks about this as far as this idea of stopping and dumping garbage. It starts off, you know the setting. Acts chapter 2 is the day of Pentecost. Peter and the other apostles are preaching, but in this specific case, Peter is the one that is talking. And he reminds the Jews who are present that Jesus, whom they had crucified, has been made Lord by God. Well, the people who are gathered there, at least to our knowledge, 3,000 of them, are really struck with this message. And they want to know what you and I would want to know had we been involved with this situation. What can we do? It was just 50 days earlier than this point that they were calling for Christ's death. They were saying that they were so convinced Jesus was not the Son of God and that he needed to be killed for what they considered to be blasphemy, that they were willing to take the responsibility. They said, let the guilt be on us and on the heads of our children. And then they saw all the events that surrounded the crucifixion, including all the things that we read about with the earthquake happening and the dead people rising after Christ rose from the dead and coming into town and appearing to people. That would make an impression on you. Some of those people there, no doubt, were among those who had seen Jesus after he rose from the dead. We're told at one instance alone, over 500 people saw him when he appeared. And so the people know, they've seen the miracles, and you know it has had to have tortured them as far as what they had done and what it meant. They don't know what it means yet. But now Peter lets them know, be assured, let all Israel be assured that this Jesus whom you crucified, God has made both Lord and Christ. And so the question, what should we do? Verse 37, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter replied, repent and be baptized. We'll talk about the baptism a little bit later, but the repentance is what we want to look at to begin with. The very first thing they had to do was repent. It was the same thing that those people who had this big garbage dump and the problem that was associated with the big garbage dump in their city had to do. They had to stop dumping garbage. Repenting means just that. You stop sinning. But it's not just the cessation of what is evil. It's also a turning to that which is good. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 15, this idea of repentance is further expanded. It says, you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. He's talking about the lame man that was healed. It is in Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you all can see. Now, brothers, I know you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, and that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. So this idea of repenting then and turning to the Lord, it's not just stopping doing evil. It's not just stop living for the world and for Satan, the prince of this world. It's to start living for God. You've been going in this direction. It's the wrong direction. You turn around and you go the other direction. This is what repentance involves. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 19, Apostle Paul is now the one that's speaking, and he says this, Romans 6:19, I put this in human terms because you're weak. In your natural selves, just as you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness. Just like that garbage dump, they just kept on dumping more and more and more. You know, when I was a kid, it was always kind of exciting to go to a dump. It didn't seem like as many noxious things, or it may have just been that being the kid that I was, I didn't notice them at the time. But you go out to a dump and it's terrible. The smell will just overwhelm you. Our sin before God is something that is so appalling that it's, I would think, hard for us to really grasp how bad it is. But he said, you used to offer the parts of your body in slavery to impurity and to ever-increasing wickedness, this continual dumping of the garbage. So now offer them, talking about our bodies, in slavery to righteousness, leading to holiness. In other words, this contaminated thing that was our soul can now be made holy. One of the things that concerns me is the lack of understanding of the holiness of God. If you get a chance to look in your bulletin this week, we've started a new phase of the Bible study that we have been on. This phase is a study of the Old Testament, about 5 chapters a day to be exact. And what I would encourage you to do is it's going to be time consuming. If you don't do it now, I would encourage you to do it at some point. But just start reading through and start studying on important themes. This is on the Old Testament. I would really encourage you to study on holiness. I would put holiness and I would put either obedience or disobedience, that combination, down as another topic, and get me a notebook. And I would just start writing down these passages that refer to God's holiness and understand what holiness means. One of the reasons that baptism is so rejected during our day and time is because people have failed to see failed to understand what holiness is. Our responsibility before God is not just to be good, it's to be holy. And until our sins are washed away, it is impossible for us to maintain that holiness. When you're a child, certainly you're born into holiness. But each one of us will have a point. Now, I suspect it's different for everybody, a different time anyway. But there's a time when God starts counting that sin against you. You're no longer holy in His eyes. And until you repent and are baptized, you're lost. You have this impurity in you. And so Paul is talking about this. And he's talking about the fact that before we become Christians, we're essentially in slavery to impurity and wickedness, but now he says, offer them in slavery to righteousness leading to holiness. When you are slave to sins, you are free from the control of righteousness. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you're now ashamed of? This is a great question. People just love the idea of being free. It's amazing, is it not, how many kids go off to college or get out of the house and go off to something and they just go wild. They have not been able to wait to cast off the restraints. And it's not too long before they're miserable. They're either addicted or they're burdened with the weight of guilt and the weight of the sin that they have done. And so Paul's just asking that. What benefit did you reap from the time at that time from the things you're now ashamed of? Those things resulted in death. But now you've been set free from sin. He's talking to Christians who've repented and been baptized. Now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, what the benefit that you reap leads to holiness. And the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is one of the factors, I think, about sin that we really need to understand. If you want to earn your eternity, it's not going to be by being righteous. As a matter of fact, if you wake up on the day of judgment and find out that you have earned your eternity, that's bad news, because that means you're going to hell. The wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. But that gift is only for those who have been made holy. That's why it is so important for us to make sure that we are obeying the gospel, God's plan of salvation for us that makes us holy. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 7, there's something that goes hand in hand with this, and this may not be evident as far as repentance right at the beginning, but I think you'll see it in just a moment. But Romans chapter 10 and let's start in verse 8. What does it say? The word is near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart. That word of faith that we're proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your mouth, it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And if you drop down to verse 13, you'll see, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This answers a question. What does it mean to call on the name of the Lord? Part of it is our confession with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. But it's also that understanding that we have to rely on Jesus for our salvation. We're going to see that with the Apostle Paul in just a moment, because when he was baptized calling on the name of the Lord. But again, what does this confession have to do with repentance? Well, turn to 2 Timothy now, if you would, And we'll start with verse 19. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are His. And everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn from his wickedness. And so you see the link now between repentance and the confession of our belief in Christ. There's a lot of people, Jesus pointed that out, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, why not? Because everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from his wickedness. We've got to repent of our sins. Otherwise, that confession, that just seals, that's just like sealing the indictment against us for our guilt. I believe in Christ, but you didn't repent? No. Everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from his wickedness. So we see the importance of repentance. And again, going back to this example, one of the first things we have to do, if not the first thing, when we find ourselves in the middle of a garbage dump, is to stop dumping garbage. And the second thing is to remove it. And we'll look at that now. We started to read this a moment ago in Acts chapter 2. Again, a passage that we all know by heart, I suppose. But Acts chapter 2, and let's step back a moment and read that again, starting in verse 37. After the people heard their responsibility for Christ's death, and they knew that, they understood it. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Have you ever been made aware of something that you had done? You knew that you had done it. You may have even been kind of proud that you had done it, but you really hadn't thought of the ramifications of what you had done. And when the truth of it hits you, you just almost, or maybe you do, just gasp out loud. I would like to have been in that, well, kind of like to be in that crowd and heard their reaction when they heard that this one that they had killed was Lord and Christ, and they believed it. I imagine there were several audible gasps at that time. Brothers, what shall we do? They said. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. The idea that somehow baptism is not related to forgiveness of sins is a lie. It's one of the greatest lies that Satan has propagated. People have bought into that lie, I think most, not because they are evil, but because that's what they've been taught over and over and over. What's that old saying? It's a lot easier to believe the lie you've heard over and over rather than the truth that you have never heard. Well, people have heard from people that they trust all their lives that baptism and forgiveness are not related, and yet you can't get any plainer than that. What should we do? Repent. Got to stop sinning, feel bad for your sins, and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Another lesson for another day, but an important part of baptism. The promise is for you and your children, for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Not just for those that were there, not just for that time. It was going to be for their descendants. It was going to be for everybody throughout the world. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them. Do you see the importance of this repenting and being baptized? The Apostle Peter is now pleading. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. There are so many people who are absolutely offended at the idea that they have a role in salvation. Well, I am saved by grace, they will say, and to that I say amen. But it never in Scripture tells us that we're saved by grace only, does it? And here Peter says, save yourselves. In other words, what's going to be done for you certainly is by the grace of God and by the sacrifice of Christ, but we've got our part to do. Those who accepted his message, not everyone will, but those who believed it, those who accepted it, were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. In verse 47, we see that it was God who was adding them to that number that day. It's God who adds us to the church when we obey the gospel. It's not a group of people who vote on us. It's not a group of important men or important women who determine whether we are worthy of salvation or not. You obey the gospel, and God adds you to the church with the rest of the saved. God added to their number daily those who were being saved. Who were saved? Those who repented and were baptized. Well, this next part, again, is it goes hand in hand with that. In Acts chapter 22, the Apostle Paul is talking about his conversion. He freely admitted that he had persecuted Christians, but he also told them why he stopped. He saw Christ without a shadow of a doubt. He understood that's who it was. And so now he understands he has sin in his life. And he's told by Jesus, you go into the town and you'll be told what to do. And this is what's happening in Acts chapter 22, verse 16. Ananias says this, "What are you waiting for?" You ever had anybody ask you that question? I don't know how many times I was told to do something and I kind of drug my feet on it, and either mom or dad or a teacher or maybe someone else in authority said, "What are you waiting for? Get going." And this is exactly what Ananias said. "What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away." Paul, who had had a religious experience, he had seen Christ. Paul, who had been praying for 3 days, still had to be baptized in order to have his sins washed away. Can you just pray to God that for your sins to be removed? And the answer is, of course you can't. If you could, it would say that within Scripture, would it not? We know that once we've been added to Christ, once we've been baptized, then we have the right to go before God anytime we sin and ask for forgiveness if we'll repent of it. But initially, we still have to have our sins washed away through baptism. Get up, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on His name. And so we see the combination of all those things. But now here's the last point. Just as the people with the garbage dump, if they were going to get rid of the dump, they had to stop dumping garbage. They had to get rid of all the garbage that they possibly could. And then they had to cover everything else up, sanitize it, put a good foundation on it to get rid of that. They didn't just leave it. They built something. There are so many times where we'll get people to the point of salvation and we won't tell them how you got to live. You've just been born, or born again is the way the Scriptures say it. But now you got to do something with that life. We've been given a second chance. What are you going to do with your life? Romans chapter 6 and verse 1. "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase?" Many people will say that God's grace is sufficient, so they can just keep on sinning. "What shall we say? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live in it any longer?" How did we die to sin? Don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. When they got through with taking care of that garbage dump, they built something beautiful. Something that employed hundreds of people and serviced thousands of people. What are you going to do with your life once you stop dumping all that garbage in your life? And the answer is, you build something for Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. "By the grace God," starting in verse 10, "by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If any man builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, good materials or bad, his work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It'll be revealed with fire. Fire will test the quality of each man's work. If what he's built survives, he'll receive his reward. If it's burned up, he'll suffer loss. He himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flames." Once you've become a Christian, once you have stopped doing what you've been doing and have done your part in repentance, and then God has taken your sins away through baptism, what are you going to do now? Are you going to go back to your old life and start dumping garbage again? You ever been to a mall? I know they're starting to get a little bit seedy, but back during my time, malls were great. They had people that were employed for no other reason than to go around and pick up trash. This shopping center was built, and then not only did they stop throwing trash out, but if somebody accidentally got some or intentionally dumped some, somebody was hired there, they would come pick up that trash so that there would be no garbage there. What are you doing with your life? Are you picking up the trash now? Or Are you doing what you've always done? The point is that we have a marvelous opportunity, an opportunity to live life anew for God. We have it when we become Christians, and we have the opportunity every day. Have we become Christians and turned away? But what will we do with that? And only we can answer that question. The invitation's open. It may be time for you to become a Christian. If so, we'd love to help you this evening. Maybe you need the prayers of the congregation. But if we can help you in any way, won't you come forward and let us know how while we stand and sing.